Thank you, Mary. You don't have to call me Dr. Harvath, only my children have to call me Dr. Harvath. So it's a real pleasure to be here with you today. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to have served the seminary community for about 30 years now. And, you know, working in an all-male environment, essentially an all-male environment, having raised three sons, and all of our pets were always males. And the greatest claim to fame with our pets was my sons teaching one of our dogs to burp. So if you've raised boys, you know what I'm talking about. So it's a pleasure to speak to a female audience. I was giving a retreat once with one of our priests here from the seminary, and we were giving a retreat for women. And he said to me on the break, he said, "I didn't know you could speak feminese." So what a pleasure to be here with you ladies, and thank you. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to address you. So my talk today is on gratitude. I'm going to try to stay within the time limits here because I have a meeting with the bishop in a few minutes, but we'll push through and we'll get, hopefully I won't speak too quickly that you can't understand what I'm talking about. A lovely day not too many months ago, I had a beautiful, lovely lunch. I was meeting with a friend who I just think the world of, and we met at her country club. So it was lovely, as you can imagine. And as you know, those kinds of situations are when you're out to lunch, you're having your own little bubble, and it's so nice and pleasant. There's always somebody at the table next to you who's speaking a little too loudly, right? And of course, you know, they always get my attention, my profession, I guess. I can't help it. You know, I'm listening in. And here was a gentleman who was speaking in a very loud voice, very angry, so angry, telling the story about how I played golf yesterday, and the day before that was a beautiful day as well, beautiful, glorious day. I played golf yesterday, and you know, I had to wait 10 minutes for them to bring the golf cart up. Can you imagine what is wrong with people that you have to stand there for 10 minutes? And my new clubs, they were still kind of rustic looking, you know? They should have cleaned them off a little better. I can't believe that. And he went on and on and on. And you know, I don't know, maybe you're not like me, but I'm the type of person that wants to say, give it a rest, you know? I want to speak up, and my kids are always pulling me and saying, don't say anything, don't say anything. So I didn't, and I credit that to the work of the Holy Spirit, but I really listened into that. I really tuned into that, and I heard it very, very deeply. And you know, we hear this all the time, don't we? And we perpetrate it. I know I do for sure. And but this particular day, I was appalled. I was just appalled, and I thought, Mister, you know, there are real things to be upset about. There are refugees, there's homelessness, there's murder, there's terrorism, there's every type of real things to be upset about and concerned about. And it certainly isn't this. And so walking out to the parking lot in my self-righteousness, you know, I'm walking out and I have my lunch in a little box, my leftover lunch, and I notice it's leaking on my sleeve of my jacket. So I'm saying to myself, oh my gosh, why did they pack these in these dumb little paper bags? And, you know, and then I'm walking and I sort of turn my ankle a little bit and I look down. I'm like, gosh, there's so much gravel. Why don't they just clean this gravel up so people can walk? And then it starts to drizzle. And I'm like, oh man, are you kidding me? I didn't really want to get wet today. And then I thought to myself, as my children would say, busted, right? I am that plebeian. Thank you, God, I am not this plebeian, a sinner. Yeah, I am. I am. And as I listened to myself, I was shocked. You know, here I was passing judgment on someone a few moments before, and here I am just a few minutes later doing exactly the same thing. What is this problem we have with the negativity? This complaining all the time. And if you don't do it out loud, I know you do it in your head, right? Because it's such a part of our human nature. this complaining all the time, what we don't have, what we do have that we don't want, what others have that we would rather have than what we have. It's a terrible habit of negativity. And, you know, it is very habitual, and we know a lot about habits, and we know that habits, they just kind of happen sometimes unconsciously. You know, we don't have to think about breathing, or we don't have to think about walking. Those are habitual behaviors that we just sort of engage in. And complaining can be a big habit. It can be a really difficult thing for many of us, and I know I can certainly see myself doing that at times. You know, we can't help it. God wired our brain this way. He gave us a brain that looks out for things that can go wrong, so that the main job of the brain is to keep us safe. Okay, I get that, but habitually complaining and not being grateful is really problematic. So God showed me this man at the country club because I am that man, right? I am that man. And as I got in my car, it all hit me, and I thought, how ungrateful are you? Think about it. There's real problems in the world, right? There's refugees, there's murder, there's homelessness. So here I am repeating to myself the same things I was thinking about him. I imagined myself stuffing a complaint box for the Lord, you know? And I don't know if they still have complaint boxes anymore. I think we probably do everything online. But in the olden days, we used to have those complaint boxes. And psychologists tell us we talk to ourselves about 70,000 times a day. Can you imagine sticking 70,000 little slips of paper into a complaint box? I don't like this. I want this. I don't need this. I would rather. All of those things that happen. So this type of complaining is really about us not practicing gratitude. And not practicing gratitude is more than not just a bad habit. You know, I know we were all taught by our parents to say thank you, and we try to teach our children to say thankful and to be grateful. But many Catholic writers will say that ingratitude is the original sin. Adam and Eve were not grateful for what they had. They had a plethora of gifts and blessings, so many things, and yet, what did they want? They wanted more. They wanted something different. And so, ingratitude is really an expression of our own beliefs about ourselves. Who do I think I am? That I deserve so much? That I'm entitled? That it's not fair? Who do I think of God? Is he lacking? Is he asleep at the switch? Is he biased towards some people and against me? Am I a grateful receiver? Or am I a spoiled brat? I really felt very convicted that day. And I thought, you know, ingratitude is truly the original sin. A Catholic priest by the name of Jacques Philippe, who is one of my very favorite writers, says that sin is amnesia. He says, sin is amnesia. We forget that God is a loving, good Father. We forget that God gives us all good things. We forget that even though he numbered every hair on our head, and promised to be our God and we to be his people, we forget those truths. Our God is incredibly generous, and we in our sinfulness are oftentimes very ungrateful. It is a human condition, and it isn't just us. It's some of the big guys. It's people like St. Ignatius Loyola. Many of you probably are fond of St. Ignatius Loyola. He's one of my favorite saints. He was plagued a lot by negativity in his life. He was tormented by anxiety and fear and a lot of complaining, a lot of self-loathing, not being grateful for self, right? A lot of self-injury, tearing himself down. And in his recovery, as many of you know, he was injured as a soldier. God graced him with insights for growth in holiness. And one of the gifts that God really showed him was gratitude and thankfulness. And Ignatius became incredibly incredibly thankful in his life. And not only so mildly thankful, but people who knew Ignatius said that, you know, he would go to the rooftop at night and look out over the city, and he would look at the stars. And my goodness, look at, we have stars on our ceiling here, right? And he would look at the stars, and Ignatius would be so moved to gratitude that he would weep. When was the last time we wept in gratitude for something? God is so good and he loves us so much. If we ask him for an egg, he's not going to give us a scorpion. Everything he gives us is good. And that's what Ignatius taught us in the spiritual exercises. And we have a tradition, an Ignatian tradition, I'm sure many of us partake of it, which is the daily examen. The examen is a beautiful thing. At the end of our day, you know, we stop, we pause, we think about, you know, what has happened during our day and what is going on and what we're grateful for. That's a huge part of the examen. That's probably not enough. We probably need gratitude on our minds and our hearts and our lips at all time. And all we have to do is look around, and there is so much to be grateful for. So as Christians, our tradition and our mission really is about gratitude, because our tradition is Eucharist. Remember, on the night before he died, he took bread and he gave thanks. Our summit is the Eucharist. And the Greek word for Eucharistio means to give thanks. So we are called to Eucharist. We are called to live Eucharist. So giving thanks is more than good manners. It's not like, okay, pass the salt, thanks, that was nice. It's much deeper. When Jesus cured 10 lepers, only one returned. And the one returned and thanked him. And Jesus said to him, where are the other nine? Was no one found to throw himself at my feet and thank me? And he said this, your faith has saved you. Jesus didn't say, you're welcome. He said, your faith has saved you. So our gratitude is truly an expression of faith. It's the way that we live our faith. When we give thanks for things, I don't care what it is. You know, maybe it's a beautiful, juicy peach on a summer day. You know, maybe it's for the birth of a grandchild. It doesn't matter how large or how small. But every time we give thanks, we profess our faith. We profess our faith that we believe that God is good and that everything he gives us works together for good. We believe that everything he gives us is grace. We believe we can trust him, and that he will always love us. We should never reject anything that he gives us if in our faith we truly can be grateful and believe those things about God. Mother Teresa once put it this way. She said, take what he gives and give what he takes. It's all good. It's all grace. And so to live Eucharist is to give thanks, and to give thanks unceasingly. But there are things, we're human, this fragile human nature, right? And there are things that we oftentimes need to get out of our way so that we can give thanks unceasingly. The Jesuit, Indian Jesuit priest, Anthony de Mello, I'm sure many of you have heard Anthony de Mello's tapes or read some of his works, he often began his conferences by saying this, wake up, wake up. We walk through life asleep. And he's right. We should taste and see the goodness of the Lord around us in every moment with all of our senses, with our senses of smell and sight and sound and taste. But oftentimes we find ourselves looking at our lives as if we're looking out the window of a moving train. You know what that's like, right? Everything's a blur. Everything's a blur. We need to stop being so afraid of everything. afraid that there's not enough, we're not enough, we haven't done enough, but to start trusting in the goodness of God. That's where our gratitude leads us. It leads us to that faith. You know, we're such an anxious culture. And nowadays they say that the rise in anxiety, especially among young people, is just at levels that we've not seen before. We have more seniors in high school with anxiety levels that are higher and more teenagers at that age getting help than we had in the 1960s for people who were getting psychiatric admissions to hospitals. We have so many anxious people in our world. And I know that a lot of it has to do with a lot of the social media and things like that. We've become a very anxious culture. We have a culture of fear. And people who are writing in this area tell us that we're afraid. We're so afraid today. And the reality is that even though our fear has gone up, our safety levels are better than they've ever been before. But because of the way things are presented to us in the news and through social media, our anxiety levels are so high. And anxiety is causing me to be fearful. It's causing me to question my faith. Is God good? Is He a giver of good things? Is it really all faith? There's a new fear that has been coined that some of us have been talking about in the psychological field. It's called nomophobia. And you know what that is? That's fear of being caught without your cell phone, or not having a place to plug your cell phone in, or being afraid that your cell phone is going to run out of juice, right? So now we have something new to worry about. You've all heard of FOMO, which is a situation among young people. It's the fear of missing out on something, right? Facebook envy. All of these things that are contributing to fear in our lives and drawing us away from the faith truths that gratitude can key us into. So what can we do to become more grateful? Many people in the field of psychology are suggesting that you keep a gratitude journal. You know, had I had time, I would have gone by the dollar store and bought you all a little bitty notebook, right? That's all we need, just a little notebook. Stick it in your purse, and every day write down what you're grateful for. Why write it down? We write it down because there's an old saying that the pen has eyes and ears, right? And it's more real when we write it down. And to write down the things that bring us a sense of gratitude in our life, and they can be anything. You know, it could be anything. Thank you for that delicious cup of coffee. Thank you for that great conversation. Or thank you for her smile when she walked down the hall. Writing these things down is not just a discipline. Writing these things down has curiously very, very strong physical effects on our body. People who write down and keep logs of what they're grateful for have lower levels of stress. They have higher progress in their goals. We have higher levels of energy. We're more satisfied in relationship, and our happiness levels go up. Something as simple as just writing down the things we're grateful for. And in addition to that, our blood pressure goes down and our immune system gets boosted. That's not much of an investment at the dollar store for a dollar little notebook, is it? To be able to experience those kinds of growths. Because the Lord wants us to be grateful. And when we are grateful, we are practicing our faith. We are a Eucharistio people. But giving thanks, as we perceive all of these beautiful graces and all of these gifts, we can't help bode the question of, what about the prayers that don't get answered? What about the pain? What about the grief? What about those kinds of things? What do we do about that? How do we make that square? And isn't it okay maybe to just be a little bit aggravated sometimes, or to be down in the dumps, or to not be happy? St. John of the Cross said it this way. He said, one act of thanksgiving when things go wrong with us is worth a thousand thanks when things are agreeable to our inclinations. So trust in the Lord and making sure that we believe that everything he did for us is good, and everything he does for us will come to good. Richard Rohr once said this. He said, "Everything will end in good. Everything will end in good. If it's not good, it's not the end yet." Right? So to have that faith in God. So what about when things go wrong, when things are tough, when things are hard? Do we complain? Do we give up? Do we say, "Thanks for nothing, Lord"? What do we say? When Jesus was facing death, he gave thanks to God before he died. That's our model. In the book of Job, Job says, "Should I accept, O Lord, good from you and not evil?" Thanksgiving is our faith. Remember, it is our Eucharist. To the grateful leopard, the Lord said, "Your faith has saved you." Many of you might be aware of a Christian writer, Anne Voskamp. And Anne wrote a book on gratitude, which is a beautiful book. And one of the things she talks about in her book is that her son, she grew up on a farm. She has, I think, 7 or 8 children. She homeschools. They run a farm. I think they run a pig farm, to tell you the truth. Had I read the back of the book before I read the book, I might have been put off by it, thinking, "What in the world?" It's a beautiful book. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. And Anne had this to say. At one point, one of her sons had stuck his hand too close to a large fan in the barn and had nearly severed a finger or two. And it was a big ordeal, and they went to the hospital and blah, 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 as you know, those things turn out. And it all came to fruition where the hand was saved, the fingers were saved. And as she was putting her bandaged, whimpering son to bed at night, she said to herself, "God is so good." And then she said she remembered. She remembered the Quaker woman up the street who had lost her child, who was probably in the process of folding and putting away her child's clothing to give it to someone else. And she said to herself, "I wonder if she thinks that God is good. Isn't God good? Isn't it all actually grace?" I had a personal experience with this many years ago. Well, not many years ago. I guess it was 6 years ago now. When my husband, strong, seemingly in perfect health, suddenly had a stroke. And as he had the stroke and he lay in the hospital and my sons and I stood around his bed, we prayed for healing. We asked the Lord to take away this horrible stroke, to heal him. We even prayed for a miracle. We invoked every saint we could possibly imagine. And he grew sicker. And so we prayed that he would just survive. And it's okay, Father. It's okay, God, if he's disabled. We'll take care of him. Just let him survive. And he grew sicker, and he grew sicker. And through the pain and the suffering, we finally understood that he wasn't going to make it. And so we prayed for ourselves. We prayed for faith. We prayed for strength. People in the adjacent room at the hospital had come out to share with us that their loved one, who had also been on the brink of death, was going to survive. And they said to us exactly what we always say when we get what we think we want, right? "God is so good." And my sons and I looked at each other and we said, "Do we believe that God is good?" Our faith is really being tested here. Do we believe that God is good? And so we ask God to strengthen our faith. And what he did for us was give us grateful hearts. And so we began to speak to each other about things that I had no idea. They certainly didn't come out of my heart at that time. It was nothing but the Holy Spirit. But we said, you know, God, we're so grateful that he died here because he traveled a lot. He could have died on the road. He could have died alone. We're so grateful that you let him die here. We're so grateful that you let his death be swift and painless. We're so grateful that you spared him paralysis and blindness and feeding tubes. We're so grateful that we were all here with him and the 10 of his 11 siblings stood around his bed. We were grateful for the sacraments that he received and the prayers that were prayed for him. We were grateful that we knew he was ready to go to God. That was crazy. It amazed me, this gratitude. You could have knocked me over with a feather as we said these things over and over and over again. Gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. Now don't get me wrong, we were not happy. We were destroyed in sadness and the depths of that. We were so upset and worried that, you know, and so saddened that we could hardly even talk. But what came out of our mouths was gratitude. Not half-hearted gratitude, not thanks, God, or maybe even angry gratitude. Thanks for nothing, God. No, we were truly grateful. God saved our faith. Our gratitude saved our faith. And so speaking gratitude at those times is an incredible gift for us. Not just when we get what we want, but when we get what we think we don't want, or we think is not good for us, perhaps. These are the times when it is most difficult. Father Jesuit Charles Shelton says in his book, The Gratitude Factor, heartfelt gratitude at some point costs us. Its ultimate price is suffering. No doubt we are experiencing gratitude. We describe it in positive terms. But for Christians, the truth is that at times our gratitude will inevitably find its fullest expression only through the suffering that we endure. They've done some research on people who have had very traumatic experiences, and you might all be very familiar with post-traumatic stress disorder. They've been doing studies in the area called post-traumatic recovery. And so they interviewed people, many people, who had gone through very traumatic experiences in their lives, deaths and accidents and all manner of debacle. And they said to them, if you could have had this event not have happened in your life, would you take it away? Perhaps surprisingly to most of us, 90% of those people said no. I would keep that in my history because of the grace and gifts that the Lord gave me. So, you know, I just want to remind us of that, you know, we think we know what we need and what we want, but the Lord gives us precisely what we need and want. I had a very good friend who lost her little girl to Down syndrome when the little girl was quite young. I believe she was only about 2 years old. And she would always say to me, you know, I wish everybody could lose a child. It's a beautiful experience. And I'd always say to her, I probably need to tone that down or find another way to say that. But you know, when we have gone through adversity and we can see that adversity and we can see the grace in that from the other side or with God's eyes or with the Holy Spirit's light on it, we understand exactly what she's talking about. So I just want to end by saying that gratitude is Eucharist, and it is our faith, and we're called to practice gratitude at all times. Jacques Philippe says that gratitude is a powerful attitude for attracting the grace of the Holy Spirit. He said it opens us up to the gifts of grace. It doesn't make God more generous because he is fully so. but it makes us more open to grace. Remember in Matthew, Jesus says, "For he who has, more will be given. But for him, from him who has not," that means we do not realize what we have, "even what we have will be taken away." So I want to end by just saying two things. I want to end with a prayer, and then I want to end with something maybe that you've heard a million times, and maybe you can carry it with you today as you leave. But in prayer, I want to say this. I will praise the Lord of God with song. This is in Psalm 69. And I will magnify him with thanksgiving. And in the words of Max Lucado, who many of you may know, he's a Christian writer, Max said this, and I think it's pretty sobering. What if you woke up tomorrow with only the things you thanked God for today? What if you woke up tomorrow with only the things you thanked God for today? Let us pray in thanksgiving to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Amen.